Mr. Speaker, words are not sufficient to express our appreciation for all of those who are.
It rarely happens to me. I recounted how I've seen so many instances of Singaporeans responding valiantly to the crisis. They continue to show up for work every day. They continue to volunteer at the dormitories. They are obviously exhausted, but their spirits remain high. And I've seen so many of these instances everywhere when I go out to meet the people on the front lines.
Let me just rephrase that, repeat what I said just now. Words are not sufficient to express our appreciation for so many Singaporeans going all out to fight the virus. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who's doing their part.
If I could allow Singaporeans to see through my eyes what I've seen, I think everyone would be similarly overwhelmed.
When I travel to work every morning, firstly, I'll be glad that I'm well and healthy. And then I'll be like, okay, who can we help today? And how can we make things better? Very quiet now compared to the first time where it was very noisy. You can hear chatters, people moving around, a lot of things going up and down. So it's nice to know that everything is under control here, everything is taken care of, and everybody is able to go back, at least back to their work. Although things are not going to be the same anymore, but it's a good start that we have progressed this much. So I feel very proud that I was able to contribute my part to making things better here. As a FAST team officer, I was deployed in the field operations. What we do is engage the workers. We'll find out their concerns. Is there any issues? Do they require any help? Because these workers are not able to go out, so they may have their needs, like they need to send money over to their family members. They want to communicate with their family members. And at that point of time, other countries were also experiencing COVID situation, which was getting out of hand. So some companies were closing down also. So there were concerns whether these workers, are they still going to be employed? Are they going to be sent back? Somebody have to do it. I mean, this is our country. If we don't step forward to do and help out, then who is going to do it? See, so I said, okay, never mind. I volunteer. I step forward. I will do it. My mother told me, you don't have to worry about us. This is part of your job. Go and do it. It's you're helping others.
The thing that was on all our minds at that time was, as we saw the numbers rising, the fear was that it would overwhelm our healthcare system. And when it overwhelms our healthcare system, we have seen from the experience in many other countries, when you have such a large case load of infected cases, it overwhelms your doctors, your hospitals.
At the peak, we see 1,400. That was around April. We're concerned that if we continue to have 1,400 a day, and remember that every one of them, when they're ill, they have to be looked after for 14 days, some 21 days, and some maybe even longer. That means the number of beds that we need is going to be 10, 20 times the number of cases that we see every day.
And that's why we moved in as soon as we could to isolate the dormitories, to test the workers, and then we also deployed as much medical resources as we could forward into the dormitories to take care of the workers who were sick, who had symptoms, to make sure they had the necessary medical care. But I think, you know, in a situation like this, you may have the best possible plans, but plans can go awry very easily. So the key is also to be able to improvise, adapt. And in a situation like this, with dealing with a new uncertain, you know, new virus, lots of uncertainty, things can go wrong. Not everything goes, you know, perfectly. There will be trip-ups from time to time. But it's really the spirit of being able to adapt, improve, and keep on doing better.
At that point in time, I would be fair to say that nobody quite expect that the whole world is going to be affected. All our major markets, one after another, were closing their borders to travellers. So the impact is actually unprecedented to the aviation industry and certainly to us in Singapore. So initially, when we were looking at raising funds for liquidity, there were two possible options, right? One is to raise maybe $3-4 billion to ensure that the company can survive over the next few months. The other way is to go for a much bigger sum to ensure that the company can last much longer. You can imagine that it is not a trivial decision to make, because the more you ask, the more difficult it is to actually raise that fund. But at the end of the day, we decided that we should not target an optimistic scenario. We should be prepared for a much more severe scenario, even though at that point in time, no one quite know how long and how extensive it will be.
Singapore's economy shrank 5.8% in pandemic-stricken 2020, making it the worst recession the country has faced since independence.
The usual question was, why does Singapore have to do this when other countries are not doing this? And there was always a threat that if we close down our activities and others are able to continue functioning, then the activities will go elsewhere, the production will go elsewhere, and they may never come back. We will lose the capacity, we will lose the capabilities, we will lose the investments in time to come. Some of them were concerned whether Singapore will panic as well and will impose export restrictions on the products that they want to sell to the rest of the world. And they knew that we were under tremendous pressures by some other companies, because those countries want to nationalize the companies in Singapore in service of their own demand, but to the detriment of all other demands from other parts of the world. And we have to make a stand that companies that are planted in Singapore will first not face artificial export restrictions for our own benefit, but to the detriment of others. Number two, companies that are planted in Singapore will have the ability to fulfill their commercial obligations to all the worldwide partners rather than risk being nationalized by their own particular country. It was not easy to get everybody onto the same sheet of music, because many people will be wondering, why should I be the one to have to shut down? And there will be invidious comparison as to why not the other person. So the famous example, why can't I have bubble tea and why chicken rice can? And if I sell chicken rice and bubble tea, can I continue? some countries do a black and white approach, which is that the order comes, we shut down everything. No ifs and buts. It's a 0-1 binary option. We took the approach that we wind down gradually. At every step that we take, we make sure that the economy can continue to function to supply our people with things that they need, with food, with medicine that they need, and can continue to trade with the world. The binary option could be simpler to execute, but it would have caused much more damage because you don't know which part of the closely interlocked supply chain you are disrupting.
Singapore has reported 1,037 new cases of COVID-19 infections. It's the fourth straight day that the daily increase has surpassed 1,000.
Now, this was in the wake of only just understanding that pre-symptomatic or asymptomatic spread could be a major issue. We had believed that people presenting with symptoms, if diagnosed early and pulled out quickly, put into isolation, could prevent such a thing. But clearly, history tells us that one got away from us.
Outside of the dormitories, we set up care facilities in the expo and other sites where the private sector also chipped in. So it was truly a massive effort, and it was also very heartening to see everybody working together.
So some of the other efforts there were quite novel, quite impressive, that trying to pull out the essential workers so that if we couldn't control it, at least Singapore could still function. I think there were lots of good things that came into place there, even though it was a pity it happened at all.
We have had years of preparation from previous crises, from SARS, so that sense of preparedness is there in the system. But a lot of it, I think, was just that spontaneous spirit of Singaporeans rallying together, standing together to overcome a common challenge. And we saw this exemplified across the board in the public service, all the officers who were working together, as well as in the private sector, companies stepping forward, volunteering to do different things.
As I reflect on the year, in some ways I'm heartened, and other ways I'm saddened. Heartened to see the good in people, the determination, the generosity. Saddened when I can see how a good outbreak response was run, and then I look overseas about how other responses were run. I just feel that there's just too many people died that didn't have to die.
You know, I have a personal story, you know. During that time, there would be WhatsApp announcements every day. And every time someone would pass from the disease, it would make the news. There were instances where, you know, we were in the office, or I may have been out with my family, or and these announcements came. And it wouldn't be unusual to have people beside us or hear someone saying, it's the foreign worker, it's 42, you know? You know, don't get me wrong, I feel very sorry for those that succumbed. But I'm also glad that it was never 42. And I think because he kept fighting it, and he was there for so long, and everyone was watching, I think he very quickly became a symbol of strength. And of resilience.
Three, two, one, action!
You must follow the safe distance, 1 meter. Don't forget to wear your mask before you come out your room. Okay, don't forget to wear your mask before you come out your room. And don't forget to follow the safe distance, 1 meter.
When you talk rationally, you stop.
এই ভিডিওর মাধ্যমে আমরা বিভিন্ন ধর্মাবলম্বী যারা আছেন ইন্ডিয়া বাংলাদেশ ফিলিপাইনো মায়ানমার সবাই একসাথে কাজ করেছি এবং সবাই আমাদের হেল্প করেছে এবং সবাই উপকৃত হয়েছে এই ভিডিও দ্বারা
When I doing video, it's produced by their own fellow friends and they get the message very easily and they can practice. By doing that, everybody knows do and don'ts and they practicing it is good.
ஆர்வத்துடன் சிங்கப்பூர் அரசு
பிகாஸ் எவ்ரிபடி நோஸ் தட்
கொரோனா வைரஸ் பரவி இதன் பாதுகாப்பா இருக்கணும் அப்படின்றது
நாடு இடவிலக்கல்ல
அதிர்ச்சியில் இருக்கு கொரோனா மூலம்
நம்முடைய பாதுகாப்புக்கு நாமே பொறுப்பேற்க வேண்டும்
பேசிக்கலி மெயின்டைன் ஐசோலேஷன் ஸ்டே ஹோம் ஸ்டே சேஃப் ஃபாலோ செல்ஃப் ஹைஜீன் இட்ஸ் வெரி வெரி இம்பார்ட்டன்ட்
கவலைப்படாதீங்க இதுவும் கடந்து போகும்
நல்ல நாட்கள் காத்துட்டு இருக்கு நீங்க எல்லாம் தைரியமா இருக்கணும் உங்களுக்காக நாங்க எல்லாம் காத்துக்கிட்டு இருக்கோம்
ஆரோக்கியமாக இருங்கள் இந்த சவாலை சமாளிக்க நாம் ஒன்றிணைந்து செயல்படுவோம்
I'll keep you in my prayers stay safe singapore
we have our ways and means but we have got networks and contacts and so on contrary to popular opinion the world is not that big sometimes you find that once the network start working we can connect very quickly so I was very grateful for the help from many in Singapore in the business community in the more general in the arts community and so on who stepped up to help us but also those from overseas like the celebrities who were very kind to say that yes they recognize the importance of it and they step forward to help as well In fact, one of the workers, and he spoke to me in Tamil, he said, you know, we are very grateful for all that you are doing for us and the government and the people of Singapore. Please let us know how we can play our part. And to me, that was a remarkable thing because, you know, we were imposing all kinds of restrictions out of sheer necessity, but they had embraced it, accepted the necessity of it, but at the same time were also wanting to play their part in terms of the larger national effort to keep our entire society in Singapore safe.
স্বাস্থ্য কল তাহলে তোমার কি দেখি খবর টবর বলো শুনি কলগুলোর মধ্যে লকডাউনের কারণে অনেক সবাই ঘরে বদ্ধ হয়ে গেছে তো পর্যাপ্ত পরিমাণে তাদের কাছে কোনো তথ্য ছিল না যে তারা কী থেকে কী করবো বুঝে উঠতে পারছিল না তো সেক্ষেত্রে তাদের আমার কাছে জানার চেষ্টা করতো কল দিয়ে তো আমার কাছে যতটুকু আমি জানতাম সেগুলো তাদেরকে বোঝানোর চেষ্টা করছি আর কি
இதுவும் கடந்து போகும் அப்படிங்கிற கணக்கில் இதையும் சமாளிப்போம் இன்னமும் இதை விட பெரிய பிரச்சனை வந்தாலும் நாங்கள் சமாளிப்போங்கிறதில் நாங்கள் வந்து கடைபிடிக்கிறோம் எம்டபிள்யூசி சொல்கிற அனைத்து நடைமுறைகளையும் நாங்களும் ஃபாலோ பண்ணுறோம்
So the odds were against us and the chips were down, so to speak. The fact that it was very demonstrable and Singaporeans could see, migrant workers were not running helter-skelter. They were staying put, they were standing firm, they were prepared to weather this out with us. I think that's done something with Singaporeans and the psyche. I am very hopeful that it will no longer be us and them. It'll be all of us.
To our migrant workers, let me emphasize again, we will care for you just like we care for Singaporeans. We thank you for your cooperation during this difficult period. We will look after your health, your welfare, and your livelihood.
At the risk of being immodest, I don't think any leader anywhere in the world has made that kind of unqualified assurance to foreigners, foreign workers in our midst. That statement was noticed by others outside Singapore. And when I spoke to their foreign ministers to update them on the situation or to tell them that one of their nationals was ill and in ICU, they never failed to mention that to me, you know, that how grateful they are for the way Singapore looks after all human beings. And they knew that their nationals were getting the best care possible in the world.
But that does not mean that the infection is over. In fact, I think the majority of them were asymptomatic, meaning that they had no symptoms whatsoever, and they were carrying the virus and they were spreading the virus. So as a result of that, in order for us to be able to pick up the virus and isolate them, every 14 days we have this RRT, which is the rostered routine testing regime for all of the migrant workers living in these dorms itself. So it's only when we were able to get the vast majority of them onto this 14-day RRT did we start to see the numbers of infection in the dorms coming down.
Okay, better already.
Better.
Not much crowd, not much movement.
Yeah, we're trying to maintain.
It's good.
Mamun was one of the few of them who got infected with COVID-19, but he eventually recovered. So these are the workers who I interact every day. They have never stood back and say, look, I'm tired, I don't want to do it. They have always come forward, they'll say, okay, we'll do it. So it was like a mutual understanding. They know we are there to help, and they also want to, like, you know, do what they can so that they can enable us to help them better. I learned that nothing is permanent. Things can just change like that. The best thing is we have to adapt. We can't give up and say, okay, that's it, we are done for. If we have done that, then it would not have been possible for us to solve the issues in the dormitory. No matter what, you have to find a solution. You are not given a choice. You find a solution, you have to move forward. Because if you never find a solution, the small problem can become a bigger problem.
It's unprecedented because for any airlines, firstly, you require people to travel in order to have any revenue. In our case in particular, we actually do not have a domestic market. Everything we carry is actually passengers that are traveling overseas, and that require international borders to be open. Given that almost all of the borders are closed to us, we are virtually without an avenue to generate revenue from selling tickets.
A warning tonight that it will be impossible for Singapore's economy to return to pre-COVID-19 growth levels in the near term.
We get to see our rosters 1 to 2 months in advance, and it was the first time that we had empty rosters. And definitely it was worrying because the bulk of our income actually came from the flights that we do. We all just didn't know what to do. We were just waiting for news, waiting for more information. All of us were just waiting to see what exactly this pandemic or this virus is all about and how it would affect us later on, yeah.
The toughest for me personally is certainly the retrenchment exercise that we have to go through. It's certainly unprecedented and personally the most painful decisions I have to make in my almost 30 years career with the company. We had to remove 4,300 positions, and because of proactive actions that we've taken earlier in the crisis, we were able to bring down the actual number affected to about 2,000. But even then, that was very, very painful.
As more countries implement their measures, the economic disruptions will be wider, deeper, and more prolonged. COVID-19 is a defining challenge for us. It is a public health crisis, an economic shock, and a social test.
We didn't just spend all the money trying to ride out the crisis. We also spent quite a lot of money to try to help our people pivot to new areas and seize new opportunities. And this gives people the confidence that they can invest in Singapore. But there is one final point which is not lost on people. Because we have the depth of financial resources, we will emerge from this crisis without the kind of debts that many countries have gotten themselves into. We can be confident that we will leave behind a better future for the next generation, and we are not leaving behind a mountain of debt for them to clear. In fact, we want to recover faster so that we will once again continue to accumulate the resources, the reserves that we can have in anticipation of the next crisis.
The intensity, the suddenness of that impact was the most difficult and was the most acutely felt. And you could really empathize with them. All these pivots, all this transformation is just thrusted onto you. So you have to adapt, you have to change to survive. So that's the first thing. The second thing employers have to do is that I think they must maintain an even more open mind. Because what has been hitherto traditional models of doing business, of getting young apprentices, young graduates in, and then give them a runway to train them, now there's a different level of urgency, a different level of doing it. Sometimes you may need to bring in people at mid-level or even at senior level to give you that level of impetus, that experience, and also that level of networks which the younger ones may not do.
So that's why we have to work very hard to get the companies that are still doing well to try to do a bit of national service, if you like, by taking on more trainees, interns that they may actually need, so that we can get everybody into a meaningful job, not just for the pay, but for the dignity that comes with the job and working for one's own living rather than to rely on handout.
My role is a parent liaison executive. Being an international school, we have a lot of parents who haven't come to Singapore yet, so we do virtual tours. We also help them with the student applications. And apart from that, we take care of the students' well-being in the school.
Primary students and secondary students study on different... Yes, we've got the primary students who are on the first floor.
I could actually make use a lot of the existing soft skills that I've acquired throughout the years as a cabin crew. Other than that, the new things that I learn is actually on the job, and very grateful for the colleagues who actually guide me along the way. For most of us crew, we are taught to be adaptable. We are very adaptable, and I think in this period of crisis, I learned that it is good to stay resilient, not giving up so easily, and definitely made me a more stronger person.
What COVID has done is really this. The change that we would have expected to take 3 to 5 years has occurred in the space of 6 to 9 months. That's been the dramatic change. It's a digital watershed. And so it's no longer about needing to persuade people about the merits of digitalization. It's more about finding the modality to get it done. So what I often tell people is that, you know, when I first started in this several years back, you know, when you talk to an SME, it'll be like, yes, it's a nice to have. Then it became a good to have. Then it became a need to have. And now it's a must have. So I think that's the arc of the transition. And so what we see today is a greater embracing of the need for digitalization, and I think whether enterprises or individuals, their willingness to step up and make those adjustments that are necessary.
Not everything that you had planned for will go smoothly. You will find potholes along the way, which we did. The key is to be able to improvise, adapt, and to make sure that we continuously focus on doing better and getting better results. I think the ability to do that really depends on all of us staying united, cooperating, working hand in hand, standing and working together. I've had a front row perspective of seeing Singaporeans coming together, working together in action.
Whatever we have done, it's not rocket science. Whether it's to carry a TT token, to wear a mask, to keep to small groups, all these are not rocket science. Yet not many countries can come together and do the simple things and do it well and do it consistently. So going forward, will we be able to continue to do well in the fight against this virus? It doesn't depend on all the complex science and whatnot. It depends on all of us keeping to the basics, keeping ourselves safe, maintaining the discipline to not create potential clusters, bearing in mind that we will try our very best to find the resources to take care of everyone, and we will get through this.
This was going to be a very long winter. Obviously, there's a certain volume of economic activity generated with 19 million visitors coming to Singapore, spending $27.7 billion. Those were the data from 2019. And when that disappears, that has a serious effect on directly on our hotels, attractions, tour operators, and tourist guides. Having that flow coming in supports a certain degree of activity in terms of concerts, performances, events, lifestyle, sports, business events happening in Singapore. And my worry is that this will have a longer-term impact on the vibrancy of Singapore. Because that vibrancy is important. It's not just for the tourists, it's not just for the visitors. It's important for Singaporeans as well. to have a sense that our home is attractive, is vibrant, is interesting.
Guys, I'll need you to take off your shoes and board the boat, yeah? You see the water slides on the cruise ship, right? That's what a lot of the kids like. Lah.
So on the contrary, I was not a believer of local tourism. Initially, when STB called us up, they were like telling us, hey, go prepare for local tourism. I was like, sure not. It's like, you know, Singapore is so small, it's not like Malaysia, you know. JB can go KL, KL can go Sabah, you know, but what, Jurong go to Lim Chu Kang, you know, kind of thing. I wasn't really a big believer of that. So anyhow, I think the very first hit that gave me the encouragement to actually do a lot more was basically the Keelung tour.
After that, Keelung is here. So I think it's two different.
Those days, it was a very common sight for me to see the wooden sampans from Malaysia. Okay, there were wooden sampans with quite a lot of these things. Of course, they are written on books, on papers, but I'm kind of gathering them together as well as adding in my own personal story. So I feel that a lot of them gave me the comments that they really love the little stories that we shared along the way.
Singapore is our home, right? I think there's value sometimes in seeing our home from a visitor's perspective. And some of these things actually will be quite interesting and new, in fact, to our Singaporeans who may take some of these areas for granted. But when they go through and visit these precincts as if they were tourists, they may see new things on their own.
So mangrove swamp is basically a hatchery for a lot of marine fishes. It really forces you to think out of the box. You really need to do something special because it's just not the everyday kind of tour in Chinatown or Kampong Glam that's going to do the trick. All right, so it really involves a lot more brains, you know, put into it. So this is something that really trained my team as well.
Given the great uncertainty ahead, we have to remain vigilant, work in close partnership, and continue to adapt as we plan and move ahead.
I think we try to distinguish ourselves by having a long-term plan, always having an eye on the future, that is not just about getting through this crisis, but to emerge stronger from this crisis. What are the steps that we need to do to help each and every of our industry and worker to pivot to the new areas, to seize the new opportunities and not try to go back to where we were previously. So I think for these few reasons, we will want to continue to distinguish ourselves from the competition around so that we have a better chance to attract those investments that will create good jobs for our people.
Can be on screen, you know, potentially talking about climate change and meanwhile have the sea levels rising behind you and around you. You could be delivering a financial presentation and using motion sensor cameras, you can use your hands to manipulate bar charts and such. So the mixed reality capability really brings elements of the impact to life. You know, the ability of speakers to be able to not just talk and show, but actually really create a story dynamically live on stage. Now, there'll be a transitional phase where the hybrid model is more skewed towards virtual attendance than physical attendance. Over time, that will, you know, shift back and settle out to the long-term model, which we still believe will be largely physical, but there will be a much larger virtual component than there was previously. Now, there is no better place in the world right now to hold a MICE event than in Singapore. look at where it's located in the world, the level of safety that's been provided here by a partnership of government and the private sector, the facilities and amenities we have to provide these events. And I think everyone from technicians within the hybrid broadcast studio right up to the leaders within that group, acutely aware of the fact that we are on the cutting edge of something here in the meeting space. So that really is the motivation.
We were very worried that even during phase two, we might have a recurrence, because we had seen it happen in so many other places. After they come out from their lockdowns, there is a flaring up of the virus again. So we were mentally prepared for that to happen, but to the credit of all Singaporeans working hard, we were able to consistently keep community cases low. And then we reached that milestone in October where we had, for the first time, zero cases in the community and in the dormitories. And in fact, after that, we had several consecutive days of zero cases. And that's when we had some confidence that perhaps we could now enter into phase three.
Because of your efforts, we are now ready to progress to the next phase. This is a calculated risk we have to accept. But the government will take every precaution and do our best to prevent imported cases from triggering a new outbreak.
Well, we set out some preconditions very early on as part of our roadmap, and we said that we needed to look at testing, and indeed we had scaled up our testing capabilities. We needed to look at safe management measures across different venues. For the most part, we see that people are indeed complying. And then finally, we talked about participation in the Trace Together program so that if any incident were to happen, we can quickly go in to contain and ring fence the clusters. We set a threshold of 70%. That gave us confidence to enter phase three on the 28th of December.
Phase three is not back to normal. And in fact, the truth is that as we open up more, we need to be even more vigilant to make sure that the infection is well under control.
Think just from a single cell. That's it. Not billions of animals, not trillions of acres of land, but just a single cell. We can feed the world clean, sustainable, safe meat. Well, Singapore is in many ways becoming the cultural and the innovation hub of Asia. Very strong intellectual property rights, commitment to high-value manufacturing. And about 2 years ago, we decided to apply to be the first ever company to sell meat called cultured meat that doesn't require killing an animal. We heard back from the food regulators that we received the approval. 2 weeks later, we actually launched it. And it was the first time in history, in the history of human beings, that people had the chance to sit together and eat real animal protein without actually killing the animal. And we think it was an enormous step to building a safer and healthier food system. And Singapore led it.
I think the world is looking for safe harbor for their investments where they can plan long term and serve different markets even in a bifurcating or fragmenting world. So these are over and above all the previous factors that they consider: a skilled workforce, political stability, tripartite relationship, and so forth. Those are still important. But these are the new factors. And the world is looking at Singapore with increased interest because we are one of the few places whereby they can expect some policy consistency and coherence for the long term. and we can serve multiple markets and help to strengthen the resilience of their supply chains while they continue to diversify.
Now vaccination is our key strategy for the rest of the year to focus on getting Singaporeans vaccinated, because this will help us keep the infection low and keep Singaporeans safe.
Getting vaccines approved, authorized for use to ensure that they are safe and effective is one thing, but distributing the vaccines to the whole world is a massive, massive exercise. It will take time. And we won't be safe until the world is safe.
There were moments that we were up, there were moments that we were down, but we were very clear that we can never say that we have turned a corner or we are out of the woods. Not even now. This is going to be a long journey. And only history will tell whether we have done well many years later.
The experience over the last 1 year also shows that Singaporeans can rise up to the occasion when the challenges emerge. I think the Singapore spirit is the important ingredient that will put us in good stead in responding to all these unknown emergencies in time to come.
In my heart of hearts, I have viewed COVID-19 as a full dress rehearsal, a preview, if you like, a preparation for the next big and bigger crisis.